Greetings, and welcome to another episode. In this world, we know it's always something. How about this latest gold rush?
A stunning intersection of biology, geology, and possibility. Scientists have discovered gold nanoparticles inside the needles of Norway spruce trees, thanks to the work of symbiotic bacteria living within them. That's not poetic metaphor, it's literal gold. Formed through a process called biomineralization. You should know this because it challenges how we think about mineral formation, environmental exploration, and even the role of microbes in shaping the material world. The discovery matters because it opens a door to greener, more sustainable methods of mineral exploration. Instead of invasive drilling or destructive surveying, researchers could use trees as bioindicators, living sensors that point to underground gold deposits. That's a game changer for communities near mining zones, where environmental degradation and water contamination are real threats. If you or someone you know lives in a region shaped by extractive industries, this kind of research could lead to safer, more ethical practices. What's especially fascinating is the role of endophytes, bacteria that live inside plant tissues. These microbes don't just help with nutrient absorption or hormone regulation. They actively transform dissolved gold into solid particles, encasing them in biofilms to reduce toxicity. That means the tree and its microbial partners are co-engineering a solution to a chemical challenge. It's a quiet act of resilience, and it suggests that nature has been refining nanotechnology long before humans ever coined the term. This could change society by reframing how we search for and value natural resources. If plants can signal the presence of gold, what else might they reveal? Could mosses help clean polluted water near mining sites? Could microbial partnerships be harnessed to recover metals from waste or even design new materials? The implications stretch into biotech, environmental science, and even philosophy, challenging the idea that nature is passive and reminding us that life is constantly shaping the Earth's chemistry. You should also know that while the gold particles are too small to be commercially harvested, their presence is still significant. It's not about getting rich off spruce needles. It's about understanding the subtle, elegant ways life interacts with the mineral world. And that understanding could lead to innovations in everything from mining to medicine. This discovery invites you to look at trees not just as symbols of life, but as collaborators in Earth's elemental dance. It's a reminder that the answers to some of our most pressing challenges might be growing quietly in the forest, waiting for us to notice.
Well, well, well. Well, let's keep it going.
The article's central message is refreshingly simple, yet deeply consequential. After 4 years of rigorous study, scientists have concluded that working from home makes us happier. That's not just a feel-good headline. It's a seismic shift in how we understand productivity, well-being, and the future of labor. You should know this because it challenges decades of assumptions about the necessity of centralized workplaces and opens the door to reimagining how we live and work. This matters because happiness isn't a soft metric. It's a powerful indicator of mental health, creativity, and long-term sustainability. When people are happier, they're more engaged, less likely to burn out, and more capable of contributing meaningfully to their communities. If you've ever felt the strain of commuting, the emotional toll of rigid office culture, or the disconnect between your work life and personal values, this research validates those feelings. It says you're not alone, and there's a better way. For people, you know, parents juggling childcare, artists needing flexible hours, caregivers, neurodivergent folks, or anyone living outside major urban centers, this shift could be transformative. Remote work isn't just a perk, it's a form of accessibility. It allows people to participate in the economy without sacrificing their health, family, or identity. That's a win for equity, not just efficiency. Societally, this could reshape everything from urban planning to climate policy. Fewer commuters mean less traffic congestion, lower emissions, and reduced demand for sprawling office complexes. It could revitalize rural areas as people relocate for quality of life rather than proximity to corporate hubs. It might even shift cultural norms around productivity, away from presenteeism and toward trust, autonomy, and results. But there's nuance here, too. Remote work isn't a universal fix. It requires strong digital infrastructure, thoughtful management, and safeguards against isolation. Not every job can be done remotely, and not everyone thrives in solitude. So while the findings are clear, the implementation must be intentional. You should also know that companies resisting this shift may be doing so out of habit, not evidence. The data is in. Happiness rises when people have control over their environment. Ultimately, this research invites you to rethink what work could look like, not just for you, but for society at large. It's a call to design systems that honor human needs, not just corporate convenience. And if we take it seriously, it could lead to a more compassionate, creative, and resilient world.
Right? Power to the people. And all the people be the power. Okay, speaking of people in power, let's butter it up.
A radical reimagining of something deceptively simple, butter. But it's not just about food. It's about climate, innovation, and the future of agriculture. A startup called Savor, founded by two 38-year-olds and backed by Bill Gates, has raised $33 million to create butter without cows, plants, or palm oil. Instead, they're using carbon dioxide and hydrogen to synthesize fat molecules in a lab, mimicking the taste and texture of traditional butter with astonishing precision. You should know this because it's not just a culinary breakthrough. It's a blueprint for how science can reshape our relationship with the planet. This matters because agriculture, especially livestock farming, is one of the largest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions. Butter alone accounts for a surprising share of that impact, and palm oil, often used in plant-based alternatives, is linked to deforestation and biodiversity loss. If you or someone you know cares about climate change, food justice, or ethical consumption, this innovation offers a tangible way to reduce harm without sacrificing flavor or function. Savor's butter is cholesterol-free, lactose-free, and has a higher smoke point than traditional butter, making it appealing to chefs and health-conscious eaters alike. What's especially compelling is how this startup is using nearly century-old science in a new way. By capturing carbon from the air and transforming it into food, they're not just avoiding emissions, they're actively repurposing them. That flips the narrative from damage control to regenerative design. It suggests that the future of food might not lie in fields or factories, but in labs that mimic nature's chemistry with precision and care. This could change society by challenging the dominance of industrial agriculture and offering scalable, sustainable alternatives. Imagine a world where fats and oils are produced without land, water, or animals, freeing up farmland for fruits and vegetables, reducing pressure on ecosystems, and making food production more resilient to climate shocks. It could also democratize access to high-quality ingredients, especially in regions where traditional agriculture is limited by geography or resources. You should also know that while Savor's products aren't yet on grocery shelves, they're aiming for a 2027 to 2029 rollout. Their early partnerships with Michelin star restaurants and artisanal bakeries suggest a strong appetite for change. And with backing from Breakthrough Energy Ventures, the startup has both the funding and the credibility to scale. Ultimately, this isn't just about reinventing butter. It's about rethinking what's possible when science, sustainability, and culinary artistry converge. It's a reminder that saving the world doesn't always start with sweeping legislation or global summits. Sometimes it starts with a spread on toast and the vision to make that spread part of a better future.
All right, with all that fancy mindering. All right, so conservation.
Celebrating a quiet but powerful triumph in conservation, animals are actively using wildlife crossings, special structures built to help them safely navigate human-dominated landscapes. In Wilson, Wyoming, motion sensor cameras have captured moose, deer, foxes, skunks, and even a young bear using these crossings as part of the Snake River Bridge project. What's especially thrilling to experts is that entire family groups are passing through, suggesting that animals are learning and teaching each other where it's safe to cross. That detail alone shifts this from a story about infrastructure to one about intergenerational survival. You should know this because it's a rare example of human engineering aligning with ecological wisdom. Wildlife crossings aren't just about avoiding roadkill. They're about restoring connectivity to fragmented habitats, reducing vehicle collisions, and preserving migration routes that have existed for centuries. If you or someone you know has ever hit a deer or swerved to avoid an animal on the road, this kind of project directly impacts your safety. But it also speaks to something deeper, a growing recognition that our roads, cities, and bridges don't have to be barriers. They can be redesigned to coexist with the natural world. This could change society in profound ways. Imagine a future where every highway includes animal corridors, where urban planning routinely considers the movement of wildlife, and where conservation isn't a separate effort, but baked into how we build. That's not just good for animals. It's good for ecosystems, for climate resilience, and for our own sense of place. It's a shift from domination to collaboration, and it reflects a broader cultural movement toward regenerative design. You should also know that these crossings work. Studies in Wyoming show they can reduce wildlife vehicle collisions by up to 90%. That's not just a statistic. It's lives saved, both human and animal. And the data gathered from trail cameras helps scientists monitor endangered species, track population health, and refine future designs. It's a feedback loop of learning and adaptation, much like the animals themselves are demonstrating. Ultimately, this story is a reminder that progress doesn't always roar. It sometimes tiptoes across a bridge in the middle of the night. And when it does, it carries the promise of a world where nature and infrastructure are no longer at odds, but in conversation. That's a future worth building.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen our fresh format and our fresh faces? Check out Four Corners TV. Download for free on your favorite streaming device, or you can go straight to fourcornerstv.net. All in all, we always appreciate you listening. And until next time, when we meet at the crossroads, peace.